Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU. And today, joined by, we've been doing this show so long, we're starting to have alumni on this show, which is kind of cool because alumni go along and all over this campus. Scott Dorley from the Hasso Plattner Institute of Design. Welcome back to KZSU, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Bird.
Thank you. And it's been, a couple years since you've been here, huh?
Yeah, I think it was a couple years ago.
And you're still doing this creative design stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been there for 3.5 years now. Still enjoying myself.
So apparently you just won't go away.
No, yeah. They've tried to get rid of me, but I won't let them.
That's good. That's good. And the students probably like it too, don't they?
Yeah, I have a good time with the students, so that's all I can speak to.
There you go.
They're pretty incredible people.
We're going to get into all the stuff you do around here, which apparently is quite a bit, with the students at closer to the bottom of the hour. But in the meantime, who was that you just played for the folks?
That was Bob Wills. Although, I have the album it came off of lists him as Bob Willis, but other albums Bob Wills. But they claim he's the founder of Western Swing. And that song just reminds me of something that would start things off. So I went with that.
Very good start. And is there a theme for the music today?
You know, I went over many different themes when, you think about doing an hour of radio and you try to put a theme to it. And it's pretty much, it's just stuff that I like.
Who's coming up next?
We got Paul Simon coming up next with Can't Run But, which I think is originally off the Rhythm of the Saints album, now that I think of it.
Okay.
But I found it on an old compilation I had.
Let's check it out. Right back with you now here at Stanford Radio with Scott Dorley today. And Scott, you a full-blown professor?
I'm a consulting professor. Actually, I think there's like three qualifiers in front of my title.
So what's the correct what would be the correct way I would introduce you? So I wouldn't say Professor Scott Dorley. What would I say?
I guess by university rules, you would call me an assistant consulting professor.
Okay.
I also just internally direct something at the D School called the Environments Collaborative. Actually, co-direct it with another guy named Scott Widoft.
Two Scotts.
That's right.
Probably hard for the university to tell you guys apart. So it's two Scotts down in the D School, man. You know them guys. They don't look alike, though, do they?
Not totally. I mean, okay. There are similarities, I suppose, but no one mistakes us for each other in person.
All right. Who was playing that mellow music before we jumped on the mic here? That was kind of soothing.
Yeah, that was a woman named Juana Molina, and she does a really cool thing that I found out about. I'd heard her music a couple times, but a friend of mine told me that she loops everything, so she plays everything herself.
Really?
Yeah, and all songs are looped, and supposedly live, she actually does the live looping.
Huh. So she's kind of a DJ.
Sort of, but she plays instruments and sings, so, you know, she's looping her own voice, she's looping guitars that she's playing, so it's kind of... It's almost like she's a mixer, but maybe not a DJ.
Where did you find out about her?
I think through a friend of mine or my brother. That's where I get a lot of music.
Mm-hmm. And before that, Ryman Paul Simon.
Yeah, and I picked that tune because I found a remix of that song that I was going to play, and then I had played that for a couple friends, and three different friends across the board said, "Oh, the original is so awesome! You got to play that."
Now, when you say remix, what do you mean by that?
Somebody just took the track and kind of layers it over, puts a little backbeat behind it, and plays with it a little bit. And it's actually a really good remix of it. But the song is better, I think. And also, I love xylophones, and I don't know if those are xylophones or marimbas or something, but
you never know nowadays.
I know, who knows? It's a xylophone one time. It's
created on somebody's laptop.
Exactly, but I think xylophones are highly underrated. So
I think you're right.
I want to include one xylophone song.
Ask Lionel Hampton about that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what do we have coming up next, Scott?
Next is actually there is some order to this. The next is a band called Chibo Matto. They're New York based, but have Japanese descent, and they kind of remind me. We're popping into Lou Reed first, and then we'll go to Chibo Matto.
All right.
So
what's Lou gonna give us?
Lou will give us a little Satellite of Love.
All right, Lou Reed, Mr. Walk on the Wild Side himself.
Satellite's gone up to the sky. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love.
satellites gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with parking cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. With Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday, with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellites gone up to the skies. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite.
Soothing music for your Monday afternoon right here on 90.1 FM KZSU Stanford. It's called the Lunch Special, and it's a different Stanford alum or professor or associate professor or lecturer. Or sometimes we even have local politicians on, the mayors of the towns around here. And today, Scott Dorley, consulting professor from the Hasso Plattner Institute of Design, co-director of the Environments Collaborative, and you know, tell me if I'm calling any of this wrong, Scott.
No, you got it. Yeah, I think you successfully navigated that long title.
Cool. Yeah. And you're also teaching the creative process.
Yeah, I've got two experimental classes this quarter that we're doing. One is called Creative Gym, and I'm co-teaching with a lot of people, actually. But the class was conceived by a woman named Grace Hawthorne and another woman named Charlotte Burgess Auburn, who both work at the D School. Grace formerly founded a magazine called Ready Made. That was a design, kind of do-it-yourself design magazine. Mm-hmm. And the idea is we teach mostly design process, how to work at the D-School.
Now, when you say D-School, let's kind of clarify that a little
bit.
It's the School of Design, right?
Right, yeah. It's called the Hasso Plattner School of Design, and the shorthand is the D-School.
And you guys, it has something to do with a mechanical engineering department?
Yeah, it kind of spawned out of the product design program, which is the degree-granting program in design at Stanford, although there are other ones in the, say, like HCI and computer science, that kind of thing. But in mechanical engineering, product design was the or is the degree granting program, and we're a multidisciplinary program. We share a lot of the process and methods with product design, but we concentrate on teaching students from throughout the university, grad students mainly, although we do have some undergrads in classes.
And when you say product design, there's a lot of stuff that gets designed, not just here at Stanford, but at universities all across the country for commercial use, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we, the class that sort of has had the most outgrowth out in the world beyond the class is one called Extreme Affordability. It's actually called Entrepreneurial Design for Extreme Affordability. And they tackle problems in mainly third world countries where obviously there's not a lot of money to create products. And they try to create very cheap products for specific problems in those areas.
Really?
And a lot of those products have gone on. Students have gone on to form companies. There's one right now, actually, who's getting a lot of press called Embrace. And they made an incubator for babies out of a sleeping bag, which replaced a $25,000 hospital incubator. And
wow.
It cost about $25. At least, I'm sure I'm not getting that totally right, but that's what I've heard about it. And
that's
pretty amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Universities are perfect for that because they got all that learning stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, and there's not, you know, you don't have market pressure and stuff like that, and you can concentrate on problems that don't get addressed,
mm-hmm.
which is what we try to do a lot of.
So, while I got you here on the hook, speak about, you know, your work here. What are you working on right now, and what do you see as kind of cutting edge stuff for?
So I come from a background in filmmaking. I went to UCLA and studied film as an undergrad, worked in LA for years in the film industry. And so I kind of see an overlap between filmmaking and theater and design. And I hooked up with a professor in the drama department, Dan Klein, who I think was professor of the year last year. So I want to give a shout out to Dan Klein.
All right.
And he and I are trying an experimental class with some support from VPUE, which is a undergraduate provost, to test out and see if improvisation and design can work together to help people create something out of nothing. Or how do you work creatively, and how can what improvisers do, which is really respond to each other to create something good, how can that process be applied to design, to making things or situations or services? Or
you think we might need that in the future?
I think so. I think an improvisational attitude is pretty mandatory when you don't know what's going to happen, and we sure don't, right?
Is the future unpredictable?
I think the future is uncertain. Yes.
How's that thought of here at Stanford? Is that kind of on people's minds, the future being unpredictable?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think the reason, you know, the D School started as an experiment coming out of product design with a few people, one of which was a guy named David Kelly, who's still highly involved. But the idea was that, you know, I think the reason it took off was because the world is really changing quickly. We've entered a much more dynamic era, partially because of technology, you know, partially because of things happening in the world, partially maybe because of, you know, changes in the ecosystem. And I think the reason it's caught on is that it provides a way to just deal with whatever comes at you, rather than having a systematic way to deal with something that's predicted. It's more about how do you have a process or a mindset or a way of doing things that allows you to respond to what happens, which may be unpredictable. So it kind of, in the back, although we don't kind of articulate it this way all the time, in the back of my head is always, there's something about this process or a posture of improvisation and responding rather than trying to kind of impose or execute.
Talking to Scott Dorley, he's our guest for the hour, consulting professor at the Hasso Plattner Institute of Design here at Stanford. And you're involved in several different projects, so you're kind of busy every day, huh?
Yeah, it definitely keeps me busy. I think it's a great place to work, great people, and there's just tons of activity, so there's always something to do.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment.
Who did we hear in that last set?
We had three songs in that last set, starting off with Lou Reed, and that was Satellite of Love. And I kind of consider Lou Reed as this guy who is technically pretty bad. You know, his music's pretty simple. His voice is, you know.
He ain't no singer, man.
Yeah, he is not a singer, but his music is incredible.
King of the Geeks.
Yeah, his music is unbelievable. So Satellite of Love kind of epitomizes that for me. And then we went into Chibo Matto, and they're kind of similar. You know, their music is pretty simple, pretty basic. In fact, they get criticized for that a lot, but they make the most with what they have, and That song, Working for a Vacation, just has this incredible hook in the chorus that I really love. And then the last one was a band called Blonde Redhead, who I think is just kind of the coolest sounding band around. You know, they just sound so cool. I thought I should share that. I first heard them back in my former life in L.A. I was at some party at, you know, some 20-year-old's house, or he had his own house, and it was just graduating from college, and the rent must have been, you know, 10 grand a month. I don't know how he made his money in kind of a Hollywood way, you know, mm-hmm. people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing the song, we're kind of looking out over the Hollywood Hills, checking out the lights, and it just, you know, has this kind of really mystical quality to me.
It
just kind of got me, and ever since then I've listened to this one particular song, although the band is great, but this song is one of those songs that just doesn't get old for me.
Are they current? Are they still making records, Blonde
yeah.
Redhead?
Yeah, I think they came out with a record maybe last year. I think every couple of years they'll come out with something. And I think they have shifting band members, although there's a man and a woman who head the thing that are consistent.
What do we got up next?
I'm going to go with Sam Cooke. I moved back to Massachusetts for a little while and started listening to sort of 50s, 60s music, and was kind of taken by how haunting the recording style is of those songs. And this one kind of epitomizes that as well. So,
what's Sam going to give us?
This is Summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and cotton is high. Your dad is rich, and your ma is good looking. So hush, little baby, don't you cry. Take to the sky, but until that morning, there is nothing can harm you. No, 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 with Daddy and Mommy standing by.
back now with Scott Dorley and Sam Cooke, just talking about Sam off mic. And why Sam Cooke? What got you listening to his stuff? And that was a beautiful version of Summertime.
Yeah, it's a really amazing version. I don't know. I went, we moved back east, my wife and I, Raquel, a couple years ago for her to go back to grad school. And I don't know why at that time I started listening to a little 50s music. And the thing about the 50s and 60s music is there's a lot of reverb and kind of echo in the recordings, particularly in the vocals. And it just struck me how eerie that sounds. You know, it's just an eerie sound. And I don't think it gets interpreted that way. It gets kind of interpreted as this like poppy, kind of happy sound. And I just happened to hear this Sam Cooke tune. I love this song anyway. I have mm-hmm. many versions of it. Mm-hmm. And I happened to hear the Sam Cooke version. It just really epitomized that recording style. So I wanted to play that.
Yeah, it was powerful. And what do we got coming up next for the folks?
Well, and then after that, we played a little Bob Marley. And again, that gets into recording style. The producer on that was Lee Scratch Perry.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And
he's still around, huh?
Yeah, he is. Actually, I saw him a little while ago, maybe a year or so ago. Live show was all right. Wasn't amazing, but his recorded music, his producing is incredible, and I really like the songs that he put together with Bob Marley. I think it makes Bob Marley sound completely different. Kind of takes the edge off the legend Bob Marley that everybody knows, and sounds just totally different to me.
Which leads one to think, you know, how would Bob Marley have ended up sounding had he not died so young?
Yeah, that's a really good point as well.
So what's coming up next, Scott?
Now we're going to go to Money Mark, who's a keyboardist, and I believe he does some DJing, mainly for the Beastie Boys and Beck, and he's pretty awesome. So we'll pop in with that.
Hickory, 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 hickory. Ooh, Lord. Get some jump on them, and then wipe your mouth and get ready to say,
Bill Cosby and Quincy Jones, believe it or not. Yeah, when Bill was in his Let's Make Records phase.
Exactly. I think it was around 1969.
And where did you find out about that?
Man, I cannot remember.
The internet, or?
Yeah, it must have been. I can't remember. I have no idea.
So Bill picked Quincy. Bill had a pretty incredible musical career. He made records, and he sponsored concerts, too. He used to put up...
I know he was a huge jazz fan, but
yeah.
I didn't know he did a lot of records. I thought this was the only one.
Not a lot, but yeah. I mean, he was involved in making things happen around L.A.
That's cool.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, this is quite an album. It's got Les McCann and Jimmy Smith and Ernie Watts and Milt Jackson and a bunch of other folks.
Xylophone.
There you go.
Vibes.
It all comes back to the xylophone.
Scott Dorley, you've been our guest today, and... if folks want to contact you or just find out more about your work here at Stanford or your music, how could they do that?
They can shoot me an email at sdorley, that's S-D-O-O-R-L-E-Y, at stanford.edu.
Okay, and any parting words you want to send out to the folks listening on the antenna or the internet here at KZSU?
Well, I guess I should say that I got lucky enough. Kathy, who's the station manager?
She's producer of this show.
Producer of the show. She gave me some homemade bread. So thank you for that. And Bert, it's been great hanging out with you.
Thank you for coming back.
I appreciate it.
And do it again and tell your friends. Tell all your partners in all the different programs you come in contact with. Come down and be guests on the lunch special.
You better look out. I think I might have some interested parties. So.
Good.
All right.
And what are we going to go out with?
A little Bob Dylan song called Wigwam.
Great.
All right.
Scott, thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Bird.
All right.